Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. It is always good to be with you. So glad to be back. Welcome to the place that you will find everything you need to get the cleaning company that you've always wanted. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me that you'd like me to answer on air, or if you want me to speak at your next event, all of that goes through our producer, Natalie. You can email her at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or you can just give us a call on the Cleaning Nation bat phone at 480-648-5149. Our favorite thing in the world is hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with a return guest, Doug Cunningham from Clean It. Clean It serves the Des Moines, Iowa area with commercial and residential cleaning. They've been in business since 1998. If you want to reach out to Doug and his team, you get a hold of them at cleanit4u.com. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate it. Well, and good morning, Cleaning Nation.
So glad to have you back. Before we jump in, and I'll link to Doug's first show, so if you become an addict, you can get all things Doug Cunningham and Clean It. But tell me about what, I don't remember, I mean, I remember having you on, but I don't remember what we talked about. Any updates? I always love kind of being like, hey, where were you? What did we talk about? Did it help? And then we'll jump into what's going on today. But do you remember what we talked about yesterday or how your life's changed since?
Yeah, previous show, we talked a lot about getting staff and retaining staff and coming up with a pipeline for securing quality trained individuals or, you know, talent. And it was very helpful. In fact, we've taken a lot of those ideas, implemented them, and I'm happy to say I've had actually zero turnover in 6 months. It's incredible. And just changing a few processes and how we do interviews and our expect to win bonus program, changing benefits a little bit, and not a lot of big changes, but just the way that we did things kind of administratively, and it's been very effective.
Man, that is so exciting. If we had a huge budget, I'd have like the big clapping in the background sound effect when you said you've had zero turnover since we talked last, which I think is about 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, actually it was.
All right, well, congratulations on that, and glad that us here at Cleaning Nation could play a small part in contributing to your success. That said, what's shaking your world today, man? How can I serve you best now?
Well, you know, I appreciate your help with our meets and that kind of thing. Where I'm at right now is my working out some details with administration. I did have an operations manager that recently decided to go on to another career, and she had been with me for about 5 years, which was prior to us having any systems in place. We have a cloud-based management system. We offer a lot of, you know, kind of structured things. And she started back when we were still using paper calendars to do our scheduling and, you know, billing by hand and all of this stuff. And so it was really hard for her to transition into the new ways that we're doing things. However, since that position is now vacant, we've been re-looking at how we hire that position. I would prefer to do a hiring from one of our pool of maids. Not sure if that's the best idea. However, I'm really wanting to strategically grow the company. It seemed like, as far as an operation manager goes, they were able, in our current structure, to manage about 15 maids, and then they start topping out. And if we push beyond that, we'd have staff turnover, we would have a lot of problems. You know, it seemed like, you know, things weren't getting followed up with correctly. So obviously I need to look at the business model, turn it around somehow, so so that I either break up those duties or share responsibilities with that person until I'm able to hire a different type of individual, or have multiple operation managers to handle larger sets of crews. So I really would like your perception on how best to fix that and how we move forward, grow the company. We've got a great pipeline of new customers. Des Moines is a wonderful market to host, to be in business in. We've got a stable workforce, and it's great. So I think there's no reason why we can't grow this to be much larger than it is.
Okay. So you've touched on a lot of different stuff. That's a big – I mean, I'll definitely answer specific questions, but there's to kind of answer that when it raises – a dozen more. So we'll do the best that we can in the time we have to kind of get you, not just you, but I think there's a lot of Cleaning Nation in that area of like, I've got a supervisor, I need a second, or I'm looking to hire my first supervisor. How do I know when and how much to pay and what the right thing is and all that stuff. So we'll hit as much as we can, as quick as we can. First of all, who's doing that job now that she's not there?
Well, since she has left, she left about a month and a half ago, I've been doing the job, in part because I wanted to further understand the complexities of the job. I've been out of it for quite a long time, about 4 years, and have been more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person. And I think sometimes my expectations are a little too high for what that position is. And so I've actually been doing the job, and I realize it is a complicated job.
Okay, so that's the first piece is I'm not a fan. Please don't hear me, Doug or Cleaning Nation, saying, hey, I want you doing these jobs within your company for extended periods of time, because I'm not. What I am saying is, and I've made this mistake, so I'm very familiar with it, it is so easy when we have a job that we don't like, and I'm not saying you do or don't like it, but oftentimes kind of this granular dealing with customers and employees and pissed off people making schedules isn't our favorite. So as soon as we get someone that says they're willing to do that job, it's like we just take this big, complicated mess and throw it at them and run as fast as we can, and then come back 3 months later, find out that they've taken the complicated mess that we've thrown at them and made it even further complicated, and they oftentimes get overwhelmed, and that's more times than not why they end up quitting, is they just feel like I couldn't do it. The solution to that, which isn't a ton of fun but is kind of nice because you do it once, and then this is how you grow a business and kind of work yourself out of every job, is you do the job not to get the job done. That's a side benefit, but you do the job to untangle that mess. So it's the difference between if you ask me to come over and help you hang Christmas lights at your house, we're at Christmas, so I'm going to try and be topical, and you throw me last year's Christmas lights, which in the year they've been in your garage are all tangled, and I've got whatever, I'm probably going to get overwhelmed and leave. But if you untangle them for me and they're all laid out and you've got nails already hung up from last year on your roof and you've got a picture of how to move the ladder and how to do everything, I'm probably going to be able to knock that thing out and be real happy. And when you invite me next year, I'll do it again. So that's exactly what we want to do for our people, is untangle those Christmas lights before we turn it over to them. So instead of just saying, you got to schedule all these people and here's a really complex system, or we haven't really figured it out and there's a lot of headache, but I'd like you to figure it out, that almost is never going to happen. So in the month and a half that you've been doing the job, Doug, have you made it, I'm sure you have to some degree, I just want to understand how much, simpler, easier, decided this is the software we're going to use and here's how to use it? Or are you still pretty like, I just do it, you know, I make all the decisions in my head and I'm just figuring it out? Or do you have a system yet?
Yes, actually, the month and a half has been very effective. One, I myself have gone through all the training programs for our software system, and have thoroughly understood it. Before, I don't think I really allowed myself to even participate in that level of it, and so I really never was able to offer any kind of technical assistance, where now I feel like I can do that.
Before we move on to that, step one might be, I'm assuming they've got a universe of knowledge, and you don't have to tell me what technical system you use because that's not important, but I'm assuming they've got a universe of knowledge that you can avail yourself of. And I'm further assuming, I'm just making up numbers, maybe it took you 20 hours of watching videos and going online and getting certain blogs and calling into the help desk and all that nonsense. And then you realize, well, gosh, we don't use A and B of this thing. We really just use C and D. And really, had I just watched these videos and had this cheat sheet that you create and, you know, just kind of done this, someone could really get up to speed on this thing in 5 hours as opposed to 20. And again, I'm making up the hours, but does that concept apply, or am I making assumptions?
Well, it's a pretty rigid system. So, I mean, you really do need to go through the training as it kind of happens. I am not scared at all about allowing somebody to go through all that training. That part of it is fine for me. What we didn't do before is mandate that somebody did do, the previous director did do that.
That's my exact point. Perfect.
Yeah,
just,
okay.
Just to be clear to Cleaning Nation, what happened before was because Doug didn't understand it. He was like, well, here's the training. You probably should go through it, but I don't know. And the lady may or may not have been interested. And there's just kind of this confusion. Now that Doug's done it, and I said, well, gosh, there's probably part of the training they could skip and part they need to focus on. And he's like, nope, I found no shortcuts. She has to go through the whole thing A to Z. Okay, that's good information. Before, you didn't know that, and you couldn't. There's a difference between making it available to her and mandating it. Now you're just going to say step one of training or step three or wherever you put it in there is learning the system. And I'm going to give you 2 full days or however long you think it is to just do this, and there'll be a quiz at the end. So that's the difference between before. It was like, here's what we have. Here's a training available. I don't know how much to tell you must or should use. That's now changed to you will do this set of training in this set of time. There will be a test. That's a huge, and again, I'm not trying to get granular on this, but the way that we're talking about thinking this through is going to be the same for every piece. Any thoughts so far before you move on?
I guess the only, and right in line with what you're saying, you know, going through the system, watching how the staff relationships work, that part has been, you know, very clarifying for me. Where I'm really kind of stuck, I think, is knowing where to break that position up so that I can get growth. And I want, like, you know, consistent, constant growth. Like, we have consistent, constant people now coming in to get jobs and consistent customers to get people. I need those administrators to be able to grow in a system that can manage that.
Okay, so that conversation
is not as easy as a question and answer, I don't think.
That piece of it, we might have to take offline. That would be, I'd have a lot of questions I need to ask of you and that were really specific to your business. So when we're done, I'll talk a little more and make sure we get you square on that. But I just don't want to take on an hour and a half long conversation that would require you sharing a lot of kind of private stuff about your business online. So let's keep it big scale to give Cleaning Nation some love. And then I promise, Doug, I won't leave you hanging. I'll get you square offline. That said, step one would be do the job and be very clear about the different tasks that it requires. So some of them are going to be very rudimentary in terms of like scheduling, right? That just needs to be an organized person that's willing to follow directions. It doesn't need to be anything different. I think you had mentioned before we talked, like, well, then some of them, they go on job walks or job audits. Some of them, they're actually selling, and then they're kind of dealing with employees. So right now it seems like there's lots of different, they're doing 42 different things, and you're trying to figure out the best way to break them up, break that position up in a sensible way. Am I getting it, or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, that's exactly correct.
Okay. So the way I would do that is, first of all, do the job, which box checked. Second of all, write down every single thing that person needs to do, or those people. I get that. We're not there yet. But just write down, here's all of the things that they would need to do. And one would be scheduling. And then subheadings of the scheduling is, well, they've got to learn XYZ software. B is, they've got to demonstrate they can do XYZ software. See, so you kind of do that, and you'll start. And again, part of it is just literally writing down what you do every day, all day. Just write it down. I did this, I did this, and I did this. And you'll start realizing in the span of a week, you might, or 2 weeks, however long it is for you to kind of go through the cycle and do every piece of work that needs to be done for that position, you'll have written down 43 things. But when you start reading them, they'll start kind of organizing themselves in a sensible way. Well, this is really just scheduling. These 18 items really just had to do with scheduling. I might have done this and that and the other, because you're going to write down kind of granularly every, you know, 20 minutes what you've been doing. You'll start categorizing them. Okay, this part is dealing with customer complaints. This part is dealing with new customers, whether it's job walks or selling. And this part is scheduling. And I'm just making it up, but that should be somewhat close, no?
Absolutely.
Okay, so once you do that, then the thing that you're going to do, and this is where I wanted to mention when you said you'd like to promote a maid, that's great. I like people having the opportunity, especially people that have served you well, giving them the opportunity to make more money, have more responsibility. But I want to make sure you're putting the right person in the right spot. So the requirements of a personality type of someone that's going to thrive in a selling environment are just about dead opposite of the person that's going to thrive in a scheduling environment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Yeah, scheduling is very analytic, very Jenga, you know, or Tetris, where you put the right slot in the right hole, mm-hmm. and it's just a very different mindset or type of person that's going to be doing sales, certainly. And then typically a housekeeper is going to be a third mindset. So you want to make sure just the fact that they've been a loyal housekeeper and done a good job and a good quote-unquote employee or part of your team, you don't want to dishonor that by moving them to a position that they're not qualified for, wouldn't enjoy, or wouldn't be good at. So step one is to do the job. Step two is to write down everything that you do. Step three is to categorize it into, they'll naturally align themselves into two or three or four different job title or job descriptions, right? So maybe it's sales, maybe it's complaints, maybe it's scheduling. Step whatever we're on, three or four, is where it kind of gets tricky, and you're going to start identifying the type of person, the traits of person that is going to succeed in that job. The guy or gal that you have doing your accounting will almost always fail as a salesperson. The guy that you've got doing sales is almost always going to fail doing accountant. They're just two different, you know, maybe there's a unicorn, one in a million, that could do both, but instead of trying to find that guy or gal, I'd be real clear on what you want. Any thoughts so far?
Yeah, I think initially what I wanted to do was to provide an opportunity for people that work through our MAID system to promote them to an operations manager, eventually to give them the opportunity of owning their own store. I really wanted to build a pathway for people out of poverty into a successful lifestyle where they can go from making $13 an hour to $97,000 a year. So, and that's been kind of a personal goal of mine. I realize that might not be the best for the business, though.
So I love the goal. Would never say no on that one. The one caveat, and again, we could talk deeper into this offline. The one caveat I've got with that is, feels like 80% of the people that are working at $10 an hour jobs, and I had this when I was younger as well, before I hired and worked with hundreds of employees, was they're at $10 an hour because they lack opportunity. And the reason I believe that is because I started at $10 an hour, minimum wage. I started $2.35 an hour, so you guys all know how old I am, which was minimum wage at the time, and kind of worked my way up. So I made this assumption, well, everybody that's at minimum wage or 10 bucks an hour, whatever, you know, kind of the low wage is in our town at this time, everybody could be like me if they just had the opportunity. And I got disappointed right. a lot because I had the same thing I wanted to do for you, which was I want to help these people and have a better job. And the problem was I found 90% of them would call in and quit and do weird things that made them $10 an hour employees, right? They disqualified themselves, and it could be their family situation, could be their whatever, could be that's just what they wanted, right? I assumed everyone else kind of wanted what I wanted. So if that was your goal to kind of get people up, I would really want to start with the right pool of talent. So I would not want to just be like, hey, everybody that signs up for a $10 cleaning job, very few of those people are actually going to have the capacity or even desire to do what it would take to get to a $97,000, you know, to have their own franchise or have their own store. That just takes a lot of work. You might be 1 in 10, 1 in 20, which is fine. You want to have a path for that 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 human being to do that. I've done that many times where people start off very low wages and left me making lots of money. And I couldn't tell you, Doug, in Clean Nation, that's very fulfilling. But if you think everyone is going to follow that same path, that's a problem. So you just want to make sure you have multiple paths so everybody can kind of have a path to what looks like success in their life. For them, it might just be cleaning, making 12 bucks an hour. That might be it. Or they might just want a second job. Or there's different people that want different paths. So I would encourage you to honor and recognize that everybody's not going to need a path to ownership, but they're going to need a path dependent on them. Does that make sense or no?
It does. One of the things I have noticed is by being a company that does allow a path, because a lot of cleaning companies don't seem to have a path. It almost, you know, and you hear it's a dead-end job or whatever to clean somebody's house, unless that's what you really enjoy. However, where we have been different is we've been able to pull talent from other companies of people that are choosing to do more with their life. And, you know, because we already have a structure for people from going from being a warehouse tech to a maid to a team leader, but we haven't taken it the next step to take, you know, those few and far in between that really have the organizational skill to stand up to be an administrator.
All right, let me give you one last bit of feedback, and then we're going to hit the lightning round because I don't want to go over on time. I do want to give you the opportunity to kind of contribute back with the lightning round. The last thing I'd say is the best way to be able to have that opportunity is to grow your company. So don't get it backwards in terms of, and this isn't just for Clean Nation. Yeah. So again, I'm going to hit it just even if you get it, I want to make sure Clean Nation does. So many people want to provide more jobs. So they say, what kind of company would we need to have to provide better jobs? Well, the answer to that is a company that's growing and successful. So first and foremost, we always need the company to be growing and successful. So when we're writing job descriptions like the process that you're going through, Doug, we certainly want to take into consideration how will this affect our path to leadership or our path to personal growth. But first and foremost, foundationally, it needs to be what does this person need and what kind of, or what does this person need to provide for a company and what type of person will this look like? So we're hiring good salespeople to be salespeople and good administrators to be administrators, team leaders to be team leaders. But we understand philosophically, foundationally, someone that is a good cleaner does not always necessarily make them a good team leader. And in some cases, it actually precludes them from being a good team leader, right? They're good at kind of, here's my box, get this done. I like getting it done and going home. That's a very different job from a team leader whose job is to get the best out of the people that are around him. So just as long as we come from that place of we need the right person for the right job, the job description needs to describe who that person is. The fact that they're a team leader, great, we know that they're a good employee, they fit our culture, our vibe, our core values, that's all fantastic, but that doesn't mean that you can plug them into any job in your company. Kind of a big picture thing. Does that make sense before we hit the lightning round?
It does.
Okay, let's hit the lightning round. I want to make sure I'm not talking this whole time. We give you an opportunity to give back three quick questions. You've already done these, so it'll be interesting to see how they vary if they do from 6 months ago. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personal or business?
To stay true to yourself and to be passionate about what you have an interest in. And I've been lucky and fortunate that being able to follow that advice, I bounce out of bed in the mornings and I barely want to go to sleep. I love what I do. I hope I can do it until I'm dead. So
man, I think that is encouraging. That is, man, if I could give a gift to any of Cleaning Nation, it would be that they jump out of bed, love what they do, and just that. God bless you, Doug. That's awesome. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can learn from?
Well, in line with, you know, where my thought process is right now, I have a tendency to be a social worker and rather than a business owner. And so I oftentimes feel overly empathetic to the concerns of our employees, just helping them get their basic. A lot of times when people first start with us, you know, they are starting out in the bottom of life and, you know, they're single moms oftentimes with, you know, they're struggling with bad ex relationships. And so oftentimes, you know, just trying to get them stabilized, you see talent there. And I sometimes take too much time doing that kind of stuff. But all in all, you know, in the long run, it's been a relatively positive situation, but I think I probably get a little too overly involved.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you recognize that, because I wanted to encourage both you and Cleaning Nation, because I know there's lots of listeners that feel that way. It's like fire. You can't say fire is good or bad. It depends how you use it. So I would encourage you that attitude of that empathy and caring and having a desperate desire to see your employees do better can torch your building to the ground, or it can be the thing that you use to make it great. So I'm glad that you identify like, hey, you know, that's kind of, it's a mistake I've made, but also the same thing that makes us great can be our biggest weakness. Last question, what's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice that will improve their lives and or their businesses?
I think one of the more interesting things that we've done in the last year was to do our Expect to Win bonus program. And it's a simple process. What it is we print up, and you can do this through Vistaprint, these thank you cards that the maids leave on the counters. And there's a CRQ code on the back of it, and the customer can scan it or write a note or send a text or email us what they've loved about what their maid did today. And so we post all of those in our main hallway in our offices. And so every crew that comes through sees those compliments. And then attached, if those people get, if the maids get like 15 compliments within the 90-day period, then they get a raise at, on their review. And the thing that was so bizarre is I thought 15 compliments was going to be a lot because we just didn't see many compliments. But we have maids that are now getting 15 compliments a week. And we then post those on our Facebook and our social media, and we've now become the number one highest rated cleaning company in Des Moines. And so when customers think of us, they think of a really great company, and versus, you know, somebody, you know, that's, we've almost reprogrammed our customer base to focus on the positives versus the negative.
Yeah, that was the first thing I got, is that you're teaching your customers how to think, instead of thinking about how to complain or what they didn't like, you're teaching them to say, hey, share with what you like. And I love that. I think that is fantastic. Doug, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, when you want to check out Doug's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you'll find it all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.